Should you get one more time? Perek Dalet Pasik Tezayin. This pasuk is a continuation of the warning Shlomo HaMelech is giving his son David. This perek began with instructions to his son Shlomo is giving his son David. I mean, what am I saying over here? I'm sorry. You're right. Shlomo is speaking to his. Who is he speaking to? Chavim? I guess so. Right, I guess Shlomo was speaking to Rechavim. We had many sons. He continues to tell, to give a warning to his children, to his child, not to follow in the ways of the wicked. And he picks up here with this, and with this Tima Pasik Tez Zayin, Ki lo yishnu im lo yoreyu, v'nigzalo shenosam im lo yachshilu. Their wickedness is so great, people who are accustomed, who are have ingrained, and become used to doing acts of wickedness, have come to a point where they can't sleep if they do not do evil. And their sleep, it repeats himself poetically, their sleep, we begin with the pasuk, kilo yishnu, yishnu means to sleep. Kilo yishnu, they cannot go to sleep im lo yoreyu if they have not done an evil act. Their sleep has been stolen from them, im lo yachshilu, if they have not caused others to stumble. In the first one, Mam Lo, specifically, he points out, he quotes, I didn't write down the psukim, but he quotes many psukim where he contrasts this to tzaddikim, who a tzaddik can't go to sleep if he has not done a mitzvah. And a person is lying down on his bed, that is a time for a person to make a cheshvin hanefesh. It's very hard. We live a very quick, fast-paced life. How often and during the day do we have time, a few moments, just to stop for a second and to make a cheshvan hanefesh? Where are we holding? What have we accomplished today? What have we not accomplished today?
That's already a mile.
What?
That's already a mile. The guy starts to think. Some people go to sleep. I go to sleep.
They don't think at all. Okay, but. Mayor, maybe this making funny noises. Maybe even turn. There shouldn't be any feedback. If you turn the other way around. Turn it the other way towards you. Turn the whole machine, because that way there's less feedback. Yeah. Okay. So the person over here is when a person goes to sleep, that is the time to make a cheshbon hanefesh. It's an ideal time. Most people don't fall asleep instantly. It takes a couple of seconds at least until they have to reflect upon what have they accomplished on this day. A tzaddik, when he looks back during the day and he realized that he didn't do a mitzvah, or he did not do a mitzvah according to his standards, or he has not learned enough, will be frustrated and will get out of bed and will say, I'm not going to sleep until I have done my duty, until I've learned, learned the two parakim of Mishnayis and ten blat Gemara, and learned a whole couple of parakim of Tanakh, and I'm not going to go to sleep until I've given tzedakah and I have done a set number of mitzvahs. It will be disturbed. Rishoyim, it's just the opposite. If they're lying on their bed and they realize, wait a minute, today has passed and I have not done an Avera, I have not done something to anger Hashem, I have not done something in an act of rebellion towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I am not going to sleep. It sounds strange, Dosh, how wicked can a person be? But the truth is, that's what happens. A person slides down the slippery slope and becomes accustomed to doing Averos. A person can come to Rachmanos on such a madrego where it says in here in this pasuk, Kilo Yishnu, they can't go to sleep im lo yoreyu unless they have the satisfaction that they have done an act of evil. V'nigzlo shnosam, if not just that they have done an act of evil that does not satisfy them, they want to make sure someone else suffers in this world. It's bad enough that they have to suffer, that they rebel against Kadosh Baruch Hu, but they also insist that they cause other people to stumble. Why? Pasuk Yitzayin explains, Ki lochamu lechem resha, because their bread they have eaten. Now this is a very unusual word. Lochamu is a verb, the verb form of a noun, bread, is lechem. Lechem means bread, but lochamu means they eat bread. Ki lochamu lechem, it's an expression. The bread that they have eaten is resha, is bread of wickedness. The yein chamosim, and wine of violence, yishtu, they drink. So the reason why this is so is because their whole essence is is evil. Ad kedekach, and the mashal, the Ma'amloi explains the mashal is because just like a person cannot survive without bread, a person needs bread to live, a person needs liquids, fluids. In this context, we're using wine, even though wine to some degree is a luxury, at least in our day and age. But in time of Chazal, wine was the basic staple of life. So just like when it comes to a healthy person, the basic staples of life, wine and bread, is what keeps him going. This is what keeps going a Rasha, bread and wine. Okay, let's see over here the Mitzvahs in Rashi. I don't have any too many Midrashim. Let's just take a quick look. Pasuk Tezayin to Pasuk Yitzayin. Ki lo yishnu ha-holchem derech ahu. Those people that are traveling this path of evil, lo yuchlu lishan, they cannot go to sleep. Im lo yasu hara. And if they do not do evil, im lo yachshilu, esachedim v'chof ladav b'milashunas, they cannot go to sleep unless they have... You know, I'm going to turn this off. It's making funny sounds, so I'm going to turn it off. They cannot. They will not go to sleep. A person cannot go to sleep unless he has caused other people to stumble. Lechem resha pasuk yedzayin rotzu loymar haba migez that comes from theft. Chamosim haba mechamos that comes from violence. They say that a lot of Bali Mus that say the same, and the same idea is that why is that sometimes? I mean, it's, you can't really say this, but it's more theoretical than realistic. But why is it that sometimes children grow up and they're not successful? Parents put them in a good school, the parents give them a good chinuch, and they don't turn out the way you expect, or the way that you would like. So the Bali Musa says, because the who's supporting them? Where is their sustenance coming from? Who's the tuition money that you're paying, and the money that you're using to shelter and to feed your children? If it comes from gezel, if the parents are involved in a shady type of parnasa where the money is theft, we don't know how these things work. In Shemayim, that has a bad hashpa. The food a child eats comes from money that was stolen, or money that was earned through things which are keneged, the Torah, ribis, or whatever, any type of money which was shaloi kedin, that creates spiritually a bad impression upon the neshama of the people that are using that money for their sustenance, for their livelihood. So it's explaining here how far it goes. And Pasuk Yitzayin is an explanation of Pasuk Tes Zayin. If a person's entire sustenance, the lechem that he eats, is lechem of resha, that has come through causing other people harm, stealing, exploitation, gezel, and the like, okay, all the many examples which you could imagine on your own, and the yein chamosim yishtu, which maybe means even the enjoyment they have in life. Yain normally is associated with pleasure. The pleasures that they have in life are only gained through chamos, violence. Then what do you expect? It contaminates the neshama in a way that we cannot describe. It's something which is purely spiritual, and it can lead to such things which are beyond a person's understanding, where a person reached a level where they can't even go to sleep unless they have the satisfaction that they have themselves done evil and caused other people to suffer in this world. Something which is so bizarre and so... and what? Yeah?
Plenty of times it happens that a person who has enough talent to be successful in a legitimate way,
yeah,
chooses an illegitimate means.
Yes.
Maybe because he thinks he can outsmart the other party, and he gets satisfaction, and who can he outsmart today?
Okay, and that's
bizarre.
No, but what's bizarre is this degree. It's not as bizarre, right, that a person will stoop to earning parnasa from things which are not proper. You know, there's a lot of the debate. Okay, I don't want to go into all the pratim, but there's a very wealthy person who gives a lot of money in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know how religious he is, and his money comes from... Okay, I don't want to say. I think you know what I'm talking about. Some people here know what I'm talking about. So it's a very... It's what? Okay, there's drug money, but there's even things that are even worse. Worse than drug money. Alright, okay, how bad could it be, right? Okay, but so people, they come, they give tzedakah. and they go on, they want to go give an institution a large sum of money, tzedakah. So they could tell one, they say, listen, even though I've earned the money through, this is not a Torah thing for an Orthodox Jew to do, but among the goyim, you know, it's acceptable. It's acceptable. This is how they live. So what's so terrible if we take this money and I channel it for holy purposes?
Plenty of coffee
chiefs have
donated to the local church.
Okay, we're not talking about over here a religious institution. So is it proper to take money? What? Kesef metar mamzerin.
It doesn't mean a physical amount. If you're a noble, you become
yes. But the question is the institution going to see a simin baracha from this money? You have institutions they live on nothing, and they're very successful. They produce something that you can be proud of. 20 years later, you look back. Who did this institution produce? You can point to 20, 30 people who have made an incredible impact on Klal Yisrael. And if you go look at the institution that they grew up in, they didn't have heat, they didn't have food, they didn't have anything. And then you can look at another institution that the floors were paved with marble and with gold and silver, and you look back 20 years, what did they produce? What impact have they made on society? Okay, you can study institutions on a case by case basis. What? Oh, Esnan Zayin Ulechir Kelef.
If it's not Esnan Zayin, if it's something else.
So technically it's mutter, but it's not. It's a tremendous nisayon. Where do you draw the line?
That's why the Torah doesn't take from the chazan the Mappa Carson.
Well, there's something to it. I mean, if this is their shita. There's a certain integrity that I'm not going to take. I'm going to.
It's permitted for a Jewish institution to receive money when they know it's not.
Well, if money is gezel, it's chamas. There's nothing to talk about. It's clearly awesome. But let's talk about shady things, that among the secular world, technically, according to the letter of the law, you'll bring in the IRS, you'll bring in the government, you'll bring in everyone. Technically, according to the letter of the law, it's kosher money. But you know it's not kosher money. You know there's something wrong.
It's legal, but it's not ethical.
Right. It's legal, but even worse than that. Even if it is, let's say it's even ethical according to the standards of the non-Jews. They have their standards. But it's just something that you know is not, it's not right. Oh, yeah.
Do not go into the nursing home business.
Okay.
Only money you make.
Excellent example. From the Tsar of other people. Phenomenal example. Lubavitcher Rebbe not take money from people who were in the nursing home business, because the money they're taking is people who suffer. People who suffer. You're making a parnasa over the suffering of someone else. Do you really expect you're going to see a simen bracha? You're going to raise children al taras hakodesh with this kind of money? Do you really expect it to be successful? The Gemara talks to Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia says that if the Torah would be forgotten.
What about doctors?
What? Doctors work very hard. We're talking about people that are making incredible profits. They're raking in hundreds of millions of dollars, taxpayer money.
Because they own real estate,
not because it's true. It's not a joke.
They bill Medicare $100-something thousand.
We're not talking about fraud. Fraud is 100%. We're not discussing those are dvarim pshutim ad ma'od. We're not talking about fraud. We're talking about things that according to in the secular world are acceptable. But for us, it's not something that you're proud. Do we expect you're going to raise children al taras hakodesh to be tzaddikim when they're supported with these kind of funds? It's Rabbi Chia says that the Gemara has a discussion, what would happen if Torah would be forgotten from Klal Yisrael? And Rabbi Chia says, if Torah would come to that point, what would I do? I would go out and I would plant seeds of flax seeds, and I would produce linen. And from that linen, I don't remember all the details of the Gemara, he went through all the various steps in order to start grassroots, literally, to start from the very beginning that every single thing shall be done with a kavan l'shem shemayim. 100% ethical, 100% honest, in order to raise, to produce materials and funds in order to raise children. or a shmur matzah, shmur mitzvah, they call it. It's an expression for mitzvah. So this is a very tough issue, and all institutions, they struggle with this. When is it proper to accept money that comes from things which are not, that you're not 100% comfortable with, and when al pi halacha it is okay to take money? Look, is this so with Barbara Streisand? Barbara Streisand wanted to give a lot of money to Yeshiva Brooklyn, and they refuse. Other institutions will be very happy to take her money.
She sings in Bible. You know what it is?
Yeshivas were very angry at her for turning gay. By the way, I don't know how she pays $1 million. Said, whatever let your children watch.
She's not unethical. That's a different thing.
Whatever what I say is,
don't ever let your children watch. How
you're in taxes?
Thank you. Well, Barbara Streisand's grandfather down on Avenue N.
She wasn't there. That's not good.
Really? Yeah, okay. She was Shomer Shabbos.
No, it was a grandmother that raised her or what. She went to Yeshiva Brooklyn, and she was in the class right above my wife's, or the same class.
Wow.
When Yeshiva Brooklyn, at that time, was a co-ed school. The same Yeshiva Brooklyn
was a
co-ed school on Willoughby Avenue. My wife and
all right, so this is something you keep in mind. There's money that's kosher, but even though it's kosher, do you really expect to see...
At her first audition, she turned facing the back. She couldn't face the front. She sang facing the back.
Kolisha. Do you really expect to see a simin bracha? And this idea is alluded to in these two psukim. These two psukim tell us, "Kiloch mulechem resha, v'yayin chamosim yishtu." Okay, that's the extreme. You'll come; it will have an effect on the neshama to the degree where a person will be so wicked they just can't go to sleep until they have been satisfied by doing someone else harm.
Can I ask you? Why can't you translate "Kiloch mulechem resha"? That conflict is the bread of the wicked.
Conflict. You want to say means war. Yeah. It means case. I was hoping I would find someone that would say that, but I did not. The closest I found is in the Mamloes. He says this pasuk stands in contrast to luchu lachamu belachmi. Luchu lachamu, go and there means war. Go to war with my bread, which means to engage in milchamta shel Torah. That the Torah is compared to lechem. L'chu lachem u'b'lachmi. So in contrast to the tzaddikim that engage in the lechem of Torah, we have here the wicked that engage in lochamu lechem resha. Okay, so indeed, maybe he does seem to say that there is the word lechem here means war, because it is very strange to say, to take a noun, bread, and to transform it into a verb, which was very controversial among the tkuv of the Paitanim to do such a thing, and here you see the pasuk doing it according to the simple interpretation. Okay, let's look at Rashi. Rashi pasuk tests vav just as one word kilo yishtu ena yucham lishu, they're not able to sleep. Okay, let's now go to pasuk yud ches. Now pasuk yud ches, we discuss the contrast. The contrast of the Rosh is ve'arach tzadikim ke'or noga. The light of the tzadikim is ke'or noga. Like a brilliant light, and noga means it also means look at the mitzudos tzion inyan ha'ara kmo menuga negdo, it shines opposite. It's another word. It's just coming in lighting. It's coming to emphasize, to expand the scope of the word ke'or, an enlightening light, a brilliant light. Holeich va'or. This is an unusual expression. Va'or here is a verb which continuously increases in light. We're describing dawn until midday. In the beginning of the day, the crack of dawn, Ashmer Saboyker, at the crack of dawn, there's just a little sliver of light in the sky. As the day progresses, as we reach midday, the light increases more and more and more. That is what it means here, the word va'or. Holeich va'or, it continuously increases in light until it reaches a climax. This is the ad nechon hayom, until when is it increase in light? Nechon hayom, the established part of the day, which means midday. Now the pasuk here is coming to tell us that tzaddikim, when they start out on life, let's just read the next pasuk. Pasuk, you test the contrast, these two psukim together. Derech resham ko'afel, on the other hand, in contrast to the tzaddikim, who start out with darkness, who start with darkness, and the light increases little by little until it reaches the climax of midday. But the derech of Rishayim, Koafela, will ultimately lead to darkness. In darkness, lo yadu bamei koshelu, they will not even know upon what they stumble. The darkness is so great that they don't even see upon what they're stumbling. It was one thing when it's dark, but if you trip and you fall in the darkness, at least you have the satisfaction that you know what you stumble upon. If it's so dark, you don't have the satisfaction what you stumble. I'll give you a personal example. Recently, over the last number of years, I have at least a car, and I don't know how. For some reason, where I live is always a target. They always try to come break into the car. They haven't damaged the car, but they on the whole, they always checking if the doors are open. And I always try very carefully to close the door. But sometimes I don't know. I thought that it locks by itself. I guess not. And every once in a while, they break inside. I don't leave anything into the car. Usually not. I try not to leave, but because when it happened the first time, they stole a GPS. I don't know what else they stole. Okay. So recently, they broke into my car again. They broke into the car and they took my glasses. I had an expensive pair of glasses for use for driving, and whatever, some other things which are not valuable. All right, so listen, it happened. It has happened a long time, but this time I have a security camera, like they have over here in front of the shul. Not such an expensive one, a cheaper model. So I go to the videotape. And sure enough, I can actually see the face of the ganav. And it was a very sophisticated operation. There were two people. There was a man and a woman. And they came together. They were walking down the block. And one was the lookout. And I saw the whole thing.
Did you report it?
Yes. I reported. I called the police. The police came down. I showed it to the police. I emailed it to the detective. They were so happy. I emailed it. I sent it to Shomrim. And everyone, Shomrim, the police, and the detective and the police, even though we're not dealing with a lot of money, we're dealing over here with peanuts. We're not dealing over here with something which they really... They take seriously, but they all like when Nishtoimim, they have like hard evidence. Now, as excited as they were, I was more excited because this is the first time I at least can see the ganav. I can at least. When I read this pasuk, this was the difference. Until now, when I stumbled in the darkness, it was very frustrating because it was dark. I stumbled. I suffered. I don't even know how to deal with it. I don't know when it happened, what time it happened, where it, how it happened, how they broke into the car, who the people were. It was a stumbling in the darkness, as the pasuk says, lo yadu bameh yikoshelu. Not only is it dark, I don't even know what I stumbled upon. But here, even though I suffered, I stumbled, I lost money, I lost property, at least I know exactly how I stumbled. I know exactly who did it. I know exactly to the second at what time they did it. I know exactly how they got into the car, because I see the entire thing. The bottom line is, I'm out money. I'm out of my eyeglasses. I'm out. But at least I don't have the frustration of lo yadu bamei yikoshelu. Here the pasuk says that the Rishayim, their way of life is so evil, when they stumble, the frustration of stumbling in the darkness is so great, they stumble, and the stumbling is lo yadu bamei yikoshelu. They don't even have a mahalich, any satisfaction, at least knowing how they stumbled. Unlike the tzaddikim, who start out at a time of darkness, and as time passes, it gets... The light increases more and more until it reaches the climax of midday. Now let's see these tzuvim mitzudas in the Zemedrash. Pasuk Yidchas Nemesudas Oirech Tzadikim Ha'orech Sha'at Tzadikim Ho'olchem Bo. The path that the righteous travel, Hu Ka'or Hayom, it is like the Or Hayom, Hamaz here. Okay, so the word Hamaz refers to the word Noga. It's the Or Hayom that shines. V'holechu meir. When it says v'holech v'or, v'or here is being used as a verb. It's continuously gets brighter. Holech umeir b'chol pam yoiser an asher yikon hayom bishleimus, until the day is established in its perfection. When is the day in its perfection? Chatzos hayom. V'hu chatzos hayom. Rotzoloimar b'chol es yaskilu. The nimshol is the tzaddikim. Every single moment of their life, they are accumulating life experience, they're accumulating knowledge, and they're getting wiser and wiser until they reach a point in their life where they are shleimim. B'choleis yaskilu yoser la'amod al das ha-Torah, as they progress to understand the truth and knowledge of Torah. On the other hand, Pasuk Yutes, in contrast to the tzaddikim, the Rishon, they are in a state of darkness, afela, and the darkness is so great, they don't even know what's lurking out there, upon what they have stumbled. And they do not know what they will stumble upon, to guard themselves from it. They have no derech. The darkness is so great, they have no way to protect themselves. They are foolish. They make mistake in their false ideology, in their false knowledge. The toy midirach emes, they stray from a path of truth. The einam yodim mimali zoher, and they don't know how to be careful. Rashi pasik yud ches v'arach tzadikim ka'or noga shoholichu meir me'amud hashachar. The light increases more and more from dawn. Amud hashachar. That was today's slichos. The ashmeres haboker, from the beginning of the morning until it gets more and more. Ad nchon hayom, ad chatzos hayom, Rashi shehu biruoy shel yom. That is the clarity of the day. Now the couple of midrashim. One thing I saw from the, I think I saw this from the Mamloes. I think some comes from the Gra. We have here two different words. We had this idea multiple times. In pasuk yudches it says the orach of the tzaddikim, and in pasuk yutes it says the derech of the Rasham. The Rasha lives on as a very wide open road. It's very misleading. It's very easy to get swept away after the Rasham because their way is wide open. It's common. Everyone travels that road. It's a clear open road. Whereas the tzaddikim, that's the derech. Whereas the tzaddikim, he has it. Well, no, but in this context, the contrast, the way the Mamloes explains the contrast between the tzaddik and the rosh is the tzaddik travels in orach. An orach is a very narrow, uncomfortable, dark road. It's not easy to travel the road, whereas the derech is easy. So the point is that for a tzaddik, it's very difficult for a person to travel the way of the tzaddik. It's a small, narrow road. It starts out dark, and it's hard. Whereas the Rishayim, they have a nice, open, wide, paved road that's comfortable and clean, and there's plenty of light. The only difference is, where does the road lead? The road of the tzaddik leads to a state of even though it starts out narrow and dark, as he progresses, it gets lighter and lighter, and it's compared to the Chatzos Hayom. Whereas the Rishoyim, even though they start out on their road, it starts out light and wide. The end is it becomes dark, and they stumble. The road is not even paved. There are impediments. There are stumbling blocks wherever you pass, and they don't even know upon what they stumble. Okay, let's go to. Okay, the Medrash really just really brings out that point, and the words it gives is the words of the Medrash are Moshul Echad Shahayoshev al Proshas Racham Moshul, the person was by a crossroads. For Hayu Lefanov Shnei Shevilin, and in front of him were two paths. Echad Shetchilasai Misha, one path was a beautiful road, and the other path bought the Soifai Kit. But if you take the beautiful path, the end is you'll come to a place of thorns. The Echad, there was another path, Shetchilasei Koitzim. It started out with thorns, the Soifai Mishar, but if you follow on this path, the more you travel, the more beautiful it becomes. And the Medrash goes on to say that the person did not know which road to take, and there was a wise man standing by the crossroads and told him, trust me. take the road that's full of thorns, because this road leads to greater pastures. It leads to a good place. And if you take the road that is clear and that is beautiful, I'm warning you, it's going to take you to a place where you don't want to be. That's the comparison of these two psukim. Let's go to Pasuk Chaf. Pasuk Chaf says, "Bini, my child, l'dvarai hakshiva la'amorai hat oznecha, listen carefully to my words and to my amorai hat oznecha, to my words, bend your ear." Two different expressions here describing speech. One word is dibur, and the second is omer. Look at the mitzudos pasuk chaf. Okay, there is no pasuk chaf. Rashi, there is no Rashi pasuk. Derech Hashem, I skipped the Rashi, Pasuk Yates. Let's go back to Pasuk Yates and Rashi. I skipped that Rashi by mistake. Derech Hashem kafeilu lo yedu b'me yichsholu pisvayim yavoluchem yichshol. Suddenly, they come in contact with a stumbling block. Lo yedu lizor men, they do not know how to be careful to protect themselves from the stumbling block. Pasuk Chaf in Rashi. L'dvar hakshiva v'goymer, he does not give any elaboration. There's a very popular gra. The Maam Lois quotes on the Gospel. There's the Art Scroll. He quotes in this pasuk. We say this pasuk in Torah many times. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lamar. What does that mean? There are two different translations. Hashem spoke to Moshe, Lamar saying. Right? Hashem. What did Hashem spoke? What did Hashem say? Lamar. Hashem. The following. Hashem said the following thing. Just an expression. Others translate the word Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lamar. Say it over to Klal Yisrael. I'm going to tell you something, and I don't want what I'm telling you to remain in your head. I want you to go lemor. I want you to go further and repeat what I said to the nation, to Klal Yisrael. That's the second translation of lemor. Now the question is, if lemor, according to the second interpretation, that lemor means I want you to say it over to others, why is there a different word? Vayidaber Hashem Moshe lidaber. When Hashem spoke to Moshe, did Hashem use the word dibur? And when Hashem told Moshe to go and relay these words to Klal Yisrael, he used the word lemar, which has a different connotation, obviously, a softer. So some want to say that you had that by Noshim. It says Lebeis Yaakov, harshness, Dibur is harshness, and Amir is softness. We find the word Amir in reference to Nashim, to women. Women, Derech is to speak in a softer tone. Okay, so the question is, so maybe it's simply that Hashem is telling Moshe that when you speak to Klal Yisrael, speak softly, so they should accept your words. That's possible, but Klal Yisrael, they're tough people. Sometimes they need to be spoken to with harshness. So why is it always that every single parsha in Torah begins Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lamar? So the Gra, okay, there are many interpretations. The Gra has one interpretation and fits very well into this pasuk. Amira has a connotation of reading between the lines. When you say something, there is the literal text. If you write, you put something in words, so you can translate it literally. But when you look at the big picture, look at the paragraph, look at the context, then you understand there's a lot more that you can understand than what is actually said. When Hashem spoke to Moshe, Hashem spoke very short. Hashem spoke to Moshe the Rosh Prakim. He gave over what it says in the Torah. Lamar, Hashem told Moshe, when you go to Klal Yisrael, you have to realize they're not on your madrega. If you're just going to repeat to them the exact words that you heard, Al Pi Ruach HaKodesh, from me, they're not going to fully grasp the depth of what I'm trying to convey. Lamar, read between the words and express these concepts, elaborate upon these concepts in much greater length to Klal Yisrael. Now, when we read the Torah, there are certain sections that Moshe Rabbeinu indeed, certainly when it comes to Chumash Devarim, it's certainly an expression of Lamar. It certainly is an expression of Moshe Rabbeinu elaborating upon what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. But even in the first, and even in the other Chumashim, Shmos, Vayikra Bamidbar, you have to look at every single parsha and to study if what's recorded in the Torah is exactly Mila B'Mila from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or did Moshe Rabbeinu have some small input in relating the ideas based upon the idea of the good. The Lord Lema means to read between the lines. Now, taking that idea, going, reading, plugging into this pasuk, the Gra says that's why there are two different expressions here in this pasuk. There's Dvarai Hakshiva, and there is Amorai, my words, which mean the same thing as Dibor Hat Osnecha. The Gra holds that the word Hat Osnecha has greater intensity. To bend your ear means you have to spend more time. You have to expend more effort in grasping the depth of what's being said. Hakshiva just means hearken. Listen. I'm saying something, listen. Hat Osnecha means let's repeat it. Repeat the tape. Repeat it. Hakshiva means pay attention. Okay, but according to the Gra, the word Hat Osnecha has a connotation of greater intensity. And therefore, why is there greater intensity with regard to Amira? You would say just the opposite. When you speak softly, you don't have to be on guard. When you speak harsh, you say just the opposite. You speak harshly, everyone, you're a military a commander, you're a colonel, you're a general, and you're talking to your soldiers. So then you would say, you're speaking then Hatos Nech, all the soldiers are lined up. They have to listen to every single word. But when you're just talking among your friends, you're speaking softly, so then you don't have to pay such close attention. No, but that's not what it means here. Dibor means the Roshay Prakim. The Roshay Prakim, then Hakshiva, pay attention. Amorai, to understand what, to read in between the lines and to bring out the depth of what the hidden message in my words, that requires toil, effort to really appreciate what is being said. That's how he puts. Yeah.
We say
Hazinu Shemayim Vadabera. Oh, very good. Vishma Imrefi. So Hazinu Hashamayim Vadabera. So the Shemayim is just requires Dibur. V'sishmah ha'aretz, when it comes to the aretz, which is the earth, okay, you have to think about it. Yeah, I don't know, but if you want it, the ayin parim l'toro. Just because the one idea works very well in one location doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work perfectly in somewhere else. But definitely ayin parim l'toro. And if you think about it, what does Shemayim refer to? What does aretz refer to? Obviously, you have to follow through with this idea to make sense out of that pasuk as well. Okay, so this is an idea. It's an important idea because we say the pasuk so many times. Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe Lemar. Two different expressions. There's a general machlokes what the pasuk means. Saying, or does it mean to give over to the nation? According to the Gra, means give over to the nation. When you give over to the nation, you have to give over to them the deeper message that's hidden in my literal words. And that idea we plug into this pasuk, Hat Osnecha, is a greater intensity, and that fits for the word Amorai, whereas Devarai is just the literal words, and that we only need for you to pay close attention, Hakshiva. Let's take a look at Pasuk Chof Aleph. Al Yalizu Me'enecha, do not turn away. Yalizu means to turn, deviate, to soar. Do not let the words of Torah turn away from your eyes. Shomrim, guard them. Besoch livovecha, in your heart. Ayin roya, v'leiv choymeh. Chazal, an expression that the eye sees, and that begins to cause the heart to stir. And the parasha of Tzitz is all based upon these two concepts in this pasuk: the eyes and the heart. Loisosuru acharei levavchem v'acharei einechem asher atem zoynim achareihem. And Rachazal in this pasuk said that once your eyes see something, that plants seeds of taiva in the heart, and it can lead a person in the wrong way. These are the two sirsurim, the two officers of a person's neshama, the eyes and the heart. Pasuk Chaf Aleph of the Mitzudos David. There is no Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Rashi. Rashi also is nothing here in Rashi. Okay, Pasuk Chaf Beis. Ki chayim heim limotz ehem ulchol bisro marpe. Torah is life for all those who find them, Balashin Rabim, and Torah will be healing for a person's entire flesh. Mitzudos pasuk chav beis lemo se'ehem. For those who find it, hamotzei chachma satara. Those a person that finds chachma and Torah, heimelo l'chaim, is its life of the person. Umarpi luchol besaroi, and it is a healing. It's not just life, but anything. It can repair damage that any aspect of life that has been lost due to illness, due to the fact that a person who was not observant can be restored by now embracing the Torah. Now the Mefarshim tells us this pasuk is coming to teach us the concept of atzlus, of laziness. Why? Because every time you have the word finding, it reminds us of the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Yogati Umatzasi Tamin. The person is yogea, he toils, and he finds tamin. But if a person says lo yogati umatzasi, or yogati v'loy matzasi al tamin. So in other words, according to the Perek, if a person comes to the conclusion that he has found Mitzia, he has found Torah, it automatically means, without any exception, that there was Yegia, there was toil. So the fact that it says ki chaim heim l'mol tzeim, it is indirectly telling a person it's not going to come easy. If you want to merit Matzasi, you're going to have to go through the steps of Yogati.
The even though there is Yegia,
it's still a Mitzia. It's still, we had this like last week, that even though no matter, it's not Yogati, and I've earned a different other expression I could have used, it's still a Mitzia. It's a Siyata Dishma. When a person merits to have an understanding of Torah, to find the pearl, it's only through, it's a gift, it's a Mitzia. You can't go out into the street and look for Mitzias. Mitzias is something which mitzia is something which is a gift. You don't go out searching for mitzias. That's what they say about, I once told this about Shidduchim. In Shidduchim it says that Chava was that a wife is a person's aveda. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the rib of Adam HaRishon, and from the rib fashioned Chava. And Adam, when he found Chava, it was machzer avedasa, because it was part of his original being. Adam had a lung, had a rib, whatever it was. It was taken away. It was lost. Now, when he found Chava, he didn't find the mitzia. He didn't find a mitzia, something that's not shaykh to me. I never worked for it. I don't earn it. I don't deserve it. A shidduch is an aveda. It's something that is shy. An aveda is something which once upon a time belonged to you, and it was lost from you, and now you have been reunited with what is shaykh to you. A mitzia is something that you have no connection to. You have not worked for it. You have not earned it. And now you got lucky, you found it in the street. One of our rabbis used to give us busra and told us that the problem with all of us is, when he deals in Shidduchim with us, we're all looking for Mitzis. when we should be looking for an Aveda. And the difference is, the Aveda is shy. This Shidduch is good for you. This is what you need. You don't need it will be a problem. Well, you don't want it. I'm giving you a good Shidduch. You don't want it. Why don't you want it? Because you don't want your Aveda. You want a Mitzia. Oh, you want a Mitzia? That I can't help you with. Yeah.
Mitzia has a tendency of negativism. They say,
right.
You didn't get it.
Exactly, because a Mitzia means it's not shaykh to you. It doesn't belong to me. The owner, the one who this belongs to, was Miayish. Unforeseen circumstances have caused him to lose connection to this object, and he was Miayish. So I come along and I take it away. You can't go out into the world looking for Mitzias. You can spend the whole day on Avenue J and Avenue M looking for dollar bills. You're not going to find, you walk the whole day, you're not going to find anything. But if you go to work, you get a job, and you work, when the day will come, the day is over, you'll take in something. Why? Because the money is an Aveda. I've worked for it, I deserve it, it's mine. a mitzias, not something that I work for. I'm going to expect to go find a mitzias out in the street. You're not going to find it. So when it comes to Torah, yogati umatsasi. The nature of Torah is not like the nature of material goods. You have to work your head off to acquire Torah knowledge. But when the day is over and you have success, siyat d'shmai, that you have an understanding of Torah, it's a gift. It's a gift from Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's begeder a mitzias. First point, why does it say here the word limotso ehem b'loshon rabim? We're discussing Torah. There's only one Torah. Why does it say limotso ehem? So this is the concept, ayin panim l'Torah. Every single person has a different appreciation, different understanding of Torah. They're just like there are no two people who look alike. Chazal said there are no two people who think alike. And just like there are no two people who think alike, no two people in this world have the same understanding, appreciation of a concept in Torah. You have one pasuk in the Torah. Every person understands the pasuk differently, slightly different. There's a different appreciation of understanding the pasuk. So when it says to Lamot's aim, for those who find it, it's Balash Ram, because the way I find my Torah is not the way you find Torah. Everyone appreciates Torah differently, a different degree of appreciation. Now there's a very, very famous mention of this pasuk, and that is that a person when he learns Torah should be motzei the Torah b'fi, because the words of the Torah should come out of his mouth. Let me read you the medrash. I have it in a few places, but I'll read it from over here. Okay, the medrash says, Ki Chaim Heim, where is the Medrash? This Medrash is in Erev, it's not a Medrash, the Gemara, Masechta Erev, Daf Nun Dalet. The Gemara says, Amale Shmuel Rav Yehuda, Shmuel said, Rav Yehuda, Shinina, sharp one, Pesach Pumich Kri. When you learn Torah, say the psukim. When you read the psukim of the Torah, open up your mouth and articulate, verbalize it. Psach pumech tani. When you learn Mishnayos, don't meditate on the Mishnayos. Actually, you have to say the words out. Ki hechi detiskayim bech, so that you shall remember it. And you will live long. Hashanemar ki chayim heim. This is a segula. Okay, we're all in the segula, especially aseres mitzvah. Ki chayim heim. Its Torah is life. Is a source of life. Lemotze ehem for those who find it. The Gemara in Masechta Ulchol B'chol B'sar Marpei. The Gemara goes. The Gemara in Erev says al tikrei lemotze ehem. Don't read it with the traditional vowelization of those who find it. Ella. Limotzi ahem bepeh. Limotzi ahem. Limotzi ahem. Those who bring it forth. Who bring it forth. Bring it forth meaning in this context. It means the way the Gemara interpreted it to Motzim Bepeh. Now, in this sefer, this is a very old, by the way, this sefer I have here, I call it Divrei Chachamim. It's a very old sefer. They just reprinted it. You can get it online for free on Hebrew books. I was looking for old Sfarim on Mishle. It's hard to find good Sfarim on Mishle. You know, there's the classics, there's the Gra, and there's Rabbeinu Yoina. That's in the category by itself. And then there is, you know, the modern, the Oitze Midrashim, the Dyslexic Midrashim. Art Scroll is a fantastic collection of a farshim, but sometimes you want a little bit more. So I went to Hebrewbooks.org to try to find some more svarim. So I found that this sefer, which is one of the best things I've come across, is really there in an old print. It's a very old sefer, Rav Yaakov Schechter. I don't know who this person is. And so he has here a very interesting discussion in this footnote. Why was it specifically Rabbi Shmuel who said this to Rabbi Yehuda? The Gemara begins with this, with Rabbi Yehuda calling him Shinina. Why was Rabbi Yehuda called a Shinina? So some of the Rishonim say because he had long teeth, he had big teeth. Shinina means
shame.
He had funny teeth, big teeth. So that was his nickname. Rabbi Shmuel, he called him Shinina. That's one interpretation, but the more common interpretation, Shinna means sharp one. He was naturally an Eloi. And he has a point here. I don't know, this is a very old sefer. I don't know where he gets from. He says, he claims, do you tell me if this is true? Anyone has heard of this? Maybe we'll do some research for us later. That people who have very high IQs, who are naturally very brilliant, generally do not have good memories. And people who have photographic memories, this is what he says. I don't know if it's true. This is what he says. I'm telling you, I'm not making this up. He says people who have phenomenal photographic memories are not necessarily the deepest thinkers. Now, this is a shock to me, because the people that I know that are Iluyim, they seem to have very good memories, and the people that have exceptional memories seem to be big Iluyim.
Your brain is finite, so if it's filled up with everything that you remember, you don't...
Okay, maybe we don't really appreciate what it means to be a deep thinker today. Today everything is so superficial. So he says the reason why he told him Lemotzien Bepen, in order that you should remember, was because since he was so brilliant, Shmuel, he was a Shinana, people who are in this league of being in the Madreg of a Shinana, an exceptionally sharp mind, have a tendency to not review things as much as they should, and to assist in remembering is motzi'eim b'peh. Is that really true? Not true? I don't know. I'm just telling you an idea that he says here. To me, it's a little bit. It was a shock. Okay, but that is the Maamar Chazal. Now here, besides this Maamar Chazal, the other Maamar Chazal, they are not as popular. But darsh many things from the word lemo tseihem, which the word lemo tseihem literally means, we say mitzi means to find, but also means to bring forth, to be moitzi, you moitzi la'ar, you bring to bring forth, mainly brings forth a bad reputation upon a woman. So based upon that idea, there are many other midrashim. One midrash is someone who teaches that Torah serves as a source of life, chayim, l'mi shemotzion la'acherim. This is a medrash devarim rabba. Someone that brings, you bring out Torah in others. By teaching Torah to others, you're bringing out the Torah in them. Okay, well, another okay, that we'll leave with that medrash. Okay, the other idea that it's a l'chol b'sar marpe, that Torah serves as a for all basar, it is a source of refuah. So the medrash says that Chazal tell us is a sam hachaim, the samtem es tevarai ele al levavchem. Torah is sam tom. Sam means a medicine that is complete. What is the meaning of medicine that is complete? That other medicines, what's good for one person is not good for another person. You have two people, and each person is suffering from a different illness, and and each one needs a different medicine. The medicine that will heal Reuven will be harmful for Shimon, and vice versa. The medicine that is good for Shimon is harmful, is poison for Reuven. Torah is not like that. It's a catch-all. It's a medicine that can heal all types of wounds, all types of illnesses, and it's not harmful at all to any specific person. Another in the marriage also gives another example of a person has multiple wounds. His body is full of wounds, so he needs multiple bandages. He needs multiple medications. That's not so when it comes to Torah. Torah of a person has multiple wounds. Torah, that when we talk about wounds, obviously we're not just talking about physical. We're talking more about spiritual ailments. A person that is spiritually sick, he has hashkafos in life that are heresy, apikorsis, that are unhealthy. A person can have many many beliefs that are not proper. To indulge, to engage, and in Torah is a healing. It's one medicine which cures multiple types of wounds. Okay, pasuk chav gimel is um a pasuk mikol mishmar nitzor libecha ki mimenu totzos chayim. Okay, this is a hard pasuk. Let's see first. There are two mahalchim in this pasuk. There's the mitzudos, and then there is the Rashi. Mitzudos first says. Okay, by the way, let's go back one moment. Pasuk chav based in Rashi. Rashi says l'motzehem loshon mitzia. Okay, Rashi says those who find it, like we said before, and then medrash says it means to bring it forth. Mikol mishmar nitzor libecha ki menu tim totzos chayim mitzudos. Mikol mishmar yoiser mikol hadvarim ashatam mishamram. person watches certain things in life. You watch your children, you watch your money, you watch your health, you watch your credit cards. There are things in life that you're always on guard to watch. You watch your tongue, that's right. There are a lot of things, you watch your weight. Right? There are a lot of things in life you have to always be on guard. Mikol nishmar. Regarding all of these things that you guard, you should nitzor libecha. Guard your heart. Your heart is more delicate, more susceptible to harm than any worldly possession you can possibly have. And we say heart, we mean your heart can be influenced by the Yetzirah. You have to guard your heart now that it should not be influenced by the Yetzirah and being infected with taiva, desires to do averos. That's what the Metzudah says. Yoyser mikol hadvarim she'ata mishamram, shemar libicha. Guard your heart. Milachshav ba'avon, from thinking about doing averos. Ki ikar totzos chayim, the ikar source. The word totzos here means source of life. Ba min halev, comes from the heart. The eich tachshav bo bedover hamaabed esachayim. How can you use that heart? Can you use the heart to do something that will take away your life? If you, the heart, the will to do Hashem's Torah mitzvot is the source of life, not just life on this world, but the olam hanitzchi, life in olam haba. And if a person's heart will be filled with desires to do averos, he is causing himself to forfeit life in this world and life in the next world. So it really ties back to the previous pasuk Chaf Aleph, where it says, two pasukim back, al yalizu me'enecha. Do not let Torah stray from your eyes. Don't look at things that you should not look at, because that will cause the next part of the pasuk, the ayin roya, the leif choymed. Then the heart will have a desire to do these things, whether it's a matter of arayos, whether it's a matter of to be nichshol and gezel and chamas. When a person sees the success of the wicked and how they prosper, a person will want to imitate, will have a desire to follow in their ways. That's going to cause his heart to have that desire, and that desire will lead to a person doing these evil things, and then he will lose life. Therefore, guard your heart very carefully, and make sure your eyes don't see things that would cause your heart to be influenced. What does mimenu? Mimenu refers to the heart. That's a key point in the interpretation of the Mitzudah Stavit. Ki mimenu, the heart is the totzos chayim, the desires of the heart is the source of life. That's not what Rashi says. Rashi, Pasuk of Gimel, says, mikol mishmar, mikol ma she'omra toira tamra, hishamer, whatever the Torah says to guard, nitzor libcha, guard your heart. Bein avera kala, bein avera chamura. Guard your heart. Ki mimenu totzos chayim, ki mi oso shuhu kal. Now here's the key point of Rashi. Mimenu means even from the smallest avera, yiyu lucha chayim uschar gadol im tekaimenu, if you'll fulfill it. Kach darash Rebbe Tanchuma. Rebbe Tanchuma, obviously this is not the simple interpretation of the pasuk, but according to the interpretation of Rashi, he's coming to allude to a Maimon Chazal that a person should be careful to guard the mitzvahs kalois kibichamuros she'ein ato yodea sechoron shel mitzvos. You don't know the reward for mitzvos in the next world. And even the Torah gives us reward for two mitzvos in this world, kibud avoim and shiluach hakan, laman yitavloch v'harachta yamim, different expressions. Shiluach hakan is called the kal shabakalim because it's the only mitzvah that you cannot possibly prepare for. Even though you open a newspaper, it'll tell you how you can do it, but according to the letter of the law, the spirit of the law, you cannot prepare for the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan. The pasuk begins, Ki Yikore Kan Sipar lefonecha baderech. It's a pure accident. When it comes to a parent giving honor, kibud avoim, that is the opposite extreme of the spectrum. A person did not come into this world out of the ground. If a person is in this world, it automatically means he has parents. And there's no way to deny that fact. Therefore, a person has an obligation to show hakaras hatov to his parents. So we have here two extreme mitzvahs. Kibud avoim, shluch hakan. And with regard to both, Hashem says there's going to be reward of arichas yomim and everything in between. This pasuk is repeating that concept according to the Medrash Rabbi Tanchuma, where it says, mikol mishmar, with regard to all of the mitzvahs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you to guard, nitzor libecha, guard your heart, make sure you don't violate every single one of them, all of them, even the lightest of the light. Ki mimenu, because even mimenu, according to the Medrash, even from the smallest mitzvah, what appears to you to be the most insignificant is going to be the totzos chayim, will be a cause of life. I think you all heard the story multiple times about the soldier in the Israeli army that was I don't remember the details, that was not 100% religious, and one thing he learned, one thing he learned was that when you put on your shoes, you first put on the right shoe, then you put on the left shoe, and then you tie the left, then you tie the right. So he was in a tank. He was in a tank, and he had to leave the tank. So before he left the tank, he decided he had to put on his shoes, put on his boots. So he said, what do I need to do this? To go put on the right, the left, tie the left. Let me just do it quickly. And he did it the right way. And by doing it the right way, it caused him to delay a couple of seconds. And that
he did it the wrong way.
He did it the wrong way.
He took off his shoes and he put it back.
Something like that. And that saved his life. So he realized, okay, the story. All right, I don't know. Okay, these are stories, but the point is what it says in this pasuk. The point is not to focus on the story, but to focus on the chazal, and that chazal again is captured in this pasuk. Mikol mishra, from everything the Torah told you to do, nitzar libecha. Guard your heart. Guard your heart from telling you that it's not important. The heart likes to tell a person, this mitzvah is not so important. You can cut corners. Don't make that mistake, because even from the smell of the smallest mitzvah, you don't realize how much blessing you will achieve. Okay, and with that, we will conclude.